Well, it is good to see everybody that's here tonight. I don't think we have any, well, maybe a visitor or two, depending on how you define visitor, I suppose. But mostly all familiar faces that are here, and it's good to see everybody as we continue this evening our series that we're doing on spiritual health. And if you've been with us through these lessons, you know that we're titling this series, Time for a Checkup. Examining our spiritual health, and that with each lesson we're looking at a different part of the body, just as you might go to a doctor and have them look at something, get a checkup. We're trying to do that spiritually, and so we're looking at different parts of the body and looking at a section of scripture that deals with that part. So far we've talked about the eyes. We use the parable of the Good Samaritan to try to do something of an eye exam and see how healthy our eyes are. And then last night, we went to the book of Ephesians to think about our oral health spiritually and how healthy are our mouths. If we're seeing people how we ought to see them, then how are we using our mouths to speak to them or to about them? And so tonight, we move on to another part of the body. This is a part that people seem to rarely have much good to say about it. People describe this part as being smelly and stinky and dirty and keep them covered up. And so, of course, what part of the body are we discussing tonight? We're talking about the feet. Spiritually healthy feet. And I am going to have a few pictures of feet along the way. And so if you are someone who is very disturbed by the sight of feet for whatever reason, there'll be a few feet up there. Evelyn, before the sermon, was asking me about the sermon, and so we were talking about feet. And I was asking her about feet, and she said she doesn't have any problems with feet. She likes feet just fine. So maybe that is something that gets developed through the years. Spiritually healthy feet. Our feet don't seem to get much recognition. For some reason, we have this problem with feet. We don't think highly of feet as maybe we think of other parts of the body. If tonight I took off my shoes and showed you my feet, that would just be something that I'm sure people would have some problems with. This scandal that the preacher showed his feet. And yet you see my hands, and nobody has any problem with hands. Yet there's just something about feet. The poor feet just don't get very much recognition. And yet we know the feet really bear the load for the rest of the body. How important are the feet that we have? In the Bible, from what I looked up, feet are mentioned 256 times. That's the count that I found of how many times the word feet or foot or a reference to feet. 256 times. And yet, in most of those instances, the feet don't play a very big part in the story or in the verse. They're just sort of an afterthought, almost. People have sandals on their feet. There's people that will sit at a footstool. Feet get washed. But seldom do feet really function in a high role in our scriptures. And so just as in our times, we don't really think a lot about feet or talk a lot about feet, or in some ways we almost kind of disdain the feet. So too in ancient societies, feet weren't held in very high esteem. One of the stories that we may think of with feet is where Jesus washes feet. But what is it that's significant about the fact that Jesus washes feet? Well, it's significant because feet are dirty and smelly and stinky, and we don't like feet. That's the significance of Jesus getting down in the role of the servant and going to the feet. And so it seems that feet tend to be looked at as just sort of this unimportant part that kind of move the body around so that the more important parts can do something. I've just got these things attached to the bottom of my body, and they just kind of move me around so that more important parts can do something. That tends to be the way we think about feet, it seems. And yet there is a scripture that we're going to look at tonight where feet would seem to be quite important. or something that the feet can be doing. And that verse or that section of scripture is going to be Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And perhaps even in this reading, maybe in times past we haven't talked a whole lot about what the feet are doing in this spiritual warfare. That's what these verses are about. And tonight we're going to try to highlight the role of feet. What do spiritually healthy feet look like? So if you want to be there in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, or if you want to just follow along on the screen, we'll begin there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what is the role of feet in spiritual warfare, in our spiritual struggle, this fight? That's what we're going to look at this evening. The first thing that you might note as you read through that is that we are to stand. Can you imagine being engaged in a battle and how limited you would be if you were seated as opposed to standing? And we realize, I know, that all this is metaphorical, and as we talk about a spiritual warfare, but think about the idea of standing. Standing implies that we're ready. We're ready for something. If you're seated, you're not as ready. And so standing implies this this readiness. Think about some of the phrases that we use. We talk about standing for truth. We talk about taking a stand. And so the first thing that we're going to do if we're going to engage in this battle, if we're going to be prepared for the temptations that come our way, for engaging and hopefully bringing light to the darkness around us, is that we have to stand. If you notice in verse 11, it says, stand against the schemes of the devil. In verse 13, withstand in the evil day. Again, verse 13, stand firm. Verse 14, stand therefore. And so the first thing that our feet have to do is they have to take a stand, if you will. We have to be willing to stand. They say that it's good for your physical health to stand. The standing desk is becoming a thing across in offices across the country, as they say that you should stand more. It's good for your health if you stand. For your physical health, you should stand. Well, for our spiritual health, we have to be people who are willing to stand, people who are willing to take a stand, people who are willing to stand for something. And so we have to stand if we're going to be spiritually healthy people. And as we continue reading through these verses, the verse that I want to highlight as we talked about feet is verse 15, Ephesians 6 and verse 15, where it says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So what I want us to do is look primarily at this verse for the next few minutes. And we're going to divide it into three different parts. So we have shoes for our feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And we'll say a few words about each of those lines, and that'll be the direction that we go. As shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And so it starts off by saying that we have shoes. We have shoes for our feet. That's how the English Standard Version reads. It's the idea of something that's been prepared for us. It's like something that's been made for us. Something that's just right for what we need. We've got shoes for our feet. The NIV, New International Version, translates it fitted. Feet that are fitted. Which is a good reading because it implies this idea of something that helps you be ready. Something, it's almost like something designed for you. You've got feet that are fitted. I can remember going to the shoe store as a kid and getting a new pair of shoes. And that was just such a big ordeal to go get a new pair of shoes. You go to the shoe store. So as a kid, you go to the shoe store, and they try to figure out what size you should wear. And they get out this big silver contraption, and they stick your foot in there, and they start moving around the levers. How long is your foot? How wide is your foot? You know this thing that I'm talking about? It looks almost like some medieval torture device that they stick your foot down into and start squeezing it around. And then they find a pair of shoes that they think is right for you. And so you put your foot in there and they come around and start pushing on it and pushing on your toes. Well, how fast are you going to grow? As though as a kid you're supposed to know what the answer is to that question. How fast are you going to grow? And then they find a pair of shoes that they think you'll have some time in those shoes. And then you have to start walking around the store. And for me as a kid with little skinny feet, I always made it to that stage in the process, and then when I would start to walk, my heel would start to slip up and down, and then would have to start the whole thing over again. You've got to have shoes that are fitted, feet that are fitted, is how the NIV reads. It's the idea of something that's going to help you, something that's beneficial for you. You want the right size. You want the right ones. You want what you need. So we have shoes for our feet. It can also be translated as shod. There are several translations that will read that way. That's an older word that we don't use as often. But again, this idea of something that fits. Think about taking your vehicle to get new tires put on. You've got to have somebody that puts it on and it fits, and it fits just right, and it's right for that vehicle. And so that's the idea that's being expressed in the first phrase here, that we have shoes for your feet. Almost as though, or one other translation is sandaled, almost as though God has designed something for us. It's like we have these orthotics that are going to help us in our battle. Maybe it's a little bit of something that we do, something that God does. We have these shoes for our feet that are the right ones for us that help us in the war that we're in. And so we have shoes that are fitted, but fitted with what? Well, it says we've put on the readiness. The shoes help us to be ready. We've got the right footwear for the job. That's the idea. And that helps us to be ready. In the mornings when we're all trying to get out of the door, get out the door, get out the house, the kids will say, "We're ready. We're ready to go." And what do we always ask? "Do you have your shoes on?" "No." "Well, then you're not ready." And so you got to have shoes, and you got to have the right shoes to be ready. And so we have shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness. But we are then ready for what? Or we are ready with what? Well, we put on the readiness that's given by the gospel of peace. So we are made ready by the good news, or we are ready with the good news. Sometimes prepositions can kind of go either way. We're ready with the news. We've been made ready by the news. Good news. That's what the word gospel means. And so as I think about this verse, how is it that having shoes for your feet that make you ready with the gospel, how is that part of spiritual warfare? How is that part of this battle that we're all in? I think the way that we oftentimes are tempted, certainly Satan can work directly upon us, shooting his missiles or his darts our way. But I think oftentimes we're led astray by the people that we know, the people that we know who don't have the good news, who, whether they realize it or not, are essentially working for the devil's army. And so he has this big army that's out there. And as we take the good news to others, and one by one, if people respond to that good news and they come from the darkness into the light, what's going to happen to that army? It's going to get a little smaller and a little smaller. And each time that we go out with our feet and deliver good news to others, hopefully the forces of Satan exert less force on us. There's more that come over to the right side, out of the darkness and into the light. So we have shoes for our feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I find this idea of feet and shoes just quite interesting in light of all the other sort of things that are talked about in that reading. Because all these other pieces of armor, and that's how we usually refer to this reading as the armor of God. It sounds like armor. We have there's a breastplate, we put that on. We have a shield. We have a helmet. We have a sword. And all of this sounds very warlike. But then we've got feet. We've got these feet that have been made ready with the gospel of peace. A gospel of peace in the midst of war. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. And the way that we engage in that warfare, the thing that our feet do in that warfare, is that they bring a gospel of peace, of reconciliation with God. Well, there's some other scriptures that sound a bit similar to this one that's in Ephesians. And I want to try to connect some dots between some of those. We'll look at two other portions of scripture, and then that'll be the lesson for tonight. The first one of those is going to be in the book of Isaiah. This passage in Ephesians seems to echo a reading out of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 52 and in verse 7, Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. I imagine in your Isaiah class you've talked some about, you know, the notion of captivity and bondage and exile and those sorts of things. Imagine being somebody who is in that state, who is in captivity, who is held in bondage by another. Imagine being in that situation. And then there's a messenger who comes bringing good news, who comes bringing a message of freedom and of liberation. How beautiful would be the feet of that messenger who come to you in a state of captivity and comes and announces a message of freedom and liberation, and it no longer is how it used to be. Well, as we turn into the New Testament, we learn that our captivity is the captivity to sin. That is the thing that has held us captive, held us in bondage, the captivity of sin. And how beautiful it is when there is a message announced, a message of freedom, a message of liberation, a message that you no longer have to live in this captivity. And notice all the parallels, or just the similar wording, between our reading in Ephesians and the reading in Isaiah. The feet, the good news, the peace. Our word gospel, which we use in the New Testament, really comes out of the book of Isaiah. That's where that word is found. And then in the New Testament, you have the word gospel, but it's a word that's first found in the book of Isaiah. So we are in captivity to sin, and we have good news of peace that can be preached to us. And once we've heard it, we then preach it to others. And so how beautiful those feet would be that would come and proclaim a message of freedom and liberation, and you no longer have to live in captivity. Well, you come over into the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, and we see that passage being referenced again. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Spiritually healthy feet. How healthy are our feet? Day by day, we are engaged in this battle between light and dark, between good and evil, God and Satan. What are our feet doing in that warfare? I think I overheard Troy before the services talking about leading Be Careful Little Feet Where You Go. So I was kind of disappointed that it wasn't up on the board. But where do our feet go? Are our feet going to a place where they can sin and do evil? Or are we taking our feet to a place where we can proclaim the gospel of peace? Where we can proclaim good news? What are we doing with our feet? Where are our feet taking us? And what are those feet doing in the midst of this war that we're engaged in? In biblical times, the way that the gospel was proclaimed is typically that people would travel. You would, with your feet, walk over to this city, and the people would go where there was a crowd, and then they would preach. And then they would take their feet, and they would travel maybe for a few days even, over to another city, and once they got to that city, then they would preach good news again. And then they would take those same tired, dusty feet over to a new city. And if you just look sometimes at the travels of Paul, or even the travels of Jesus, you see all these places that their feet carried them to as they preached good news. And as I was reflecting on that, and this idea of spiritually healthy feet, and what are our feet doing, it occurred to me that in our day and time, we can proclaim good news, the gospel of peace, really without having to take that many steps. Think about all the things that we have at our fingertips today. We have the internet. We have phones. We have the radio. We have even a mail service that they didn't have in first century times. So what are your feet doing for the cause of Christ? How healthy are your feet? Are your feet willing to take the gospel to others? And it may be the case that you really don't even have to take that many steps in order to do so. The best thing that your feet could do this evening, if there is anybody here that has a need, is for those feet to come down to the front and confess your belief in Christ and be baptized. Or if you've done that and you're here this evening and you need the prayers of the church, if there's anything that can be done for you, please let that be known as we stand and sing.